Buckheart moved as swiftly through the darkness as any of the other night creatures, but it had been late when he left Majuba, and the dawn light was already strengthening when he reached the remains of the eland carcass. He squatted beside it and searched for clues as to who and what had visited it since the previous day. The vultures were roosting, hump-backed, on the surrounding cliffs and kranzes. The ground around the carcass was littered with their feathers where they had squabbled over the scraps, and white streaks of their liquid dung painted the rocks around the kill. Their talons had raked the earth, but he was able to pick out the tracks of a number of jackal and other small wildcats and scavengers in the softened earth. There were no signs of hyena, but that was not surprising. The mountains were too high and cold for them at this season of the year. Although picked bare, the skeleton of the eland was intact. Hyena would have chewed the bones to splinters. If there had been a human visitor, any sign of it had been obliterated. However, Buckheart was confident that he had not been followed. Few men could have untangled the trail he had laid. Then his eyes fell on the ribcage of the eland. The bones were smooth and white. Suddenly he gave a soft whistle of alarm, and his confidence wavered. He touched the bare ribs, running his finger down them one after another. The marks on them were so light that they might have been natural, or the tooth marks of one of the scavengers, but Buckheart felt a sick spasm of doubt tighten in his stomach muscles. The marks were too smooth and regular, not those of teeth, but of a tool. Someone had scraped the flesh off the bone with a blade. If it were a man, he would have left the mark of boot or sandal, he thought, and made a quick cast around the carcass, wide enough to avoid the chaos created by the scavengers. Nothing. He returned to the skeleton and studied it again. Perhaps he was barefoot, he wondered. But the Hottentot wears sandals. And what would one of them be doing in the mountains in this season? They'll be with their herds down in the plains. Perhaps, after all, I was followed. But only an adept could have read my sign. An adept who goes unshod. A San? One of my own kind? As he pondered it, he became more anxious. Should I go on to High Weald, or should I go back to warn Samoya? He hesitated, then made his decision. I cannot go in both directions at the same time. I must go on. That is my duty. I must take my news to Klebe. Now, in the morning light, he could move faster. As he ran, his dark eyes were never still, and no sound or smell, however faint, eluded him. As he skirted a stand of cripplewood, whose stems were hung with beards of grey moss, his nostrils flared as he caught a whiff of fecal odour. He turned off the path to trace the source and found it within a few paces. A single glance told him that these were the droppings of a carnivore who had gorged recently on blood and meat. They were black, loose, and fetid. Jackal, he thought, then immediately knew that it was not. It must be human. For close by were the stained leaves with which he had cleaned himself. Only the San used the leaves of the washhand bush for that purpose. They were succulent and soft, and when rubbed between the palms of the hand, they burst open and ran with herbal-scented juice. He knew then that the same man who had eaten at the eland carcass had defecated here, close to the path that led from Majuba down the mountains, and that the man was of the San. Apart from himself, how many adepts of the San lived within the borders of the colony? His people were of the deserts and the wilderness. Then his instincts told him who it must be. "Kia," he whispered. "Kia, who is my enemy, has followed me and learned my secrets. Now he runs back to his master in the castle. Soon they will ride out to Majuba with many horsemen to run down Samoya and Welanga." He was immediately stricken by the same dreadful uncertainty. Must I go back to warn Samoya, or go on to High Weald? How far is Kia ahead of me? Then he reached the same decision. Samoya will already have left Majuba. Kesar and his troops will move slower than Samoya. If I drink the wind, I might be able to warn both Klebe and Samoya before Kesar catches up with him. He began to run as he had seldom run before, as though he were following a wounded chemsbuck or being chased by a hungry lion.